pulpit tonight. What a tremendous honor, amen. Never take it lightly. How many know that we have some of the best pastors, amen? Not just in Victory Outreach, but in the world. I love them so much, amen. And then I also want to welcome for the very first time Mary and Francine to Victory Outreach Albuquerque. So glad you joined us here tonight. If I got that second name wrong, I apologize. Amen. So with that, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be seated. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, Lord. And Father, I just pray, God, Father, you continue to move, God, just like you've moved all week, God, for a week straight, Lord. You've been pouring out your spirit and your power, God, and we thank you for the transformation, the change, the encouragement that has taken place, God. And Father, we just pray, God, you continue to move in a powerful way. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat here tonight. Man, I'm excited to be here tonight. One, because I had a really rough day at work. Come on, somebody. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm getting to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the second reason is I was studying and studying, and some of you preachers will know what I'm talking about. And, like, the message just wasn't coming through. Amen. You're like, man, is this the message? Is that the message? And you're like, you scrap it. Come on, every scrap the message, right? And then it's like just, you know, a couple hours ago, I was like, yeah, this is the word. So I, like, you know, it's like drinking a Starbucks. Praise the Lord. Real quick, just to reiterate a couple of announcements. That funeral for Sister Claire is actually at 1 o'clock. So it's 1 o'clock, I believe Saturday, right? Saturday, 1 o'clock. I know the thing said 10. We apologize. It's at 1 o'clock if you'd like to come support there. And then also, I want to make two very special plugs. One is for the Valentine's Encounter. Come on, somebody. Amen. So if you're a married couple and you say, you know, I could use an encounter, hello. Make sure you get to the Valentine's Encounter. And I saw the list of speakers, and it's going to be good. Amen. You're never going to have a Valentine's Encounter like this. It's going to be good. And then the second thing I want to reiterate is the Watoto Children's Choir. Man, they are so amazing. If you miss, don't miss out. These kids are amazing. And with that, we are still looking for a few people that would open up their houses to house a couple of the kids. They do have chaperones with them. So it would be, I believe, one adult and two kids. So one adult, two kids. If you have some extra room in your house and you'd like to chaperone, they are so amazing and such an awesome time. You can see the information table right after service. Make sure you sign up. We are still in need. This is just this weekend, and we're still in need of, I think, three or four houses to house children. So make sure you sign up if you're able to do that. Amen. Those were all the commercials. I'm going to jump right into it. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 1. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Wow, that was fast. Who got there? That's what I'm talking about. I said, I'm going to find the book that's the hardest to find. No matter what it says, I'm going to preach out of that one. Just kidding. Okay, here we go. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible reads like this. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? You know, I was reading this portion of scripture in Habakkuk. We're going to roll with that one. And I was reading it, and I was thinking, where was this person at, the prophet of Habakkuk, and what was he going through? And I started to study a little bit later what was going on with the nations and the children of Israel. And I wonder what would get him to a point where he would think that God wasn't listening to him. That God, have you ever felt like that in your own prayer life? Like maybe God's not listening, right? How many married couples do we have in the building? You ever think like maybe he's not listening to me right now? But then I began to look into it and some verses later that we're going to get into, and I begin to see that it's not that God's not listening. And maybe it's not God that's not listening. Maybe, just maybe, God's not the one not listening. And so I began to think and to look, and I realized something. That as we go through this walk of faith, and we're walking through this life, and especially this year is our year of expectation, but sometimes we don't act like it's the year of expectation. Sometimes we still act like it's not going to happen, like God's not going to come through, like we're not going to get a breakthrough, and we start to revert back to the things that this is the way it's always been, and this is the way I've always been, and we can't expect God to do anything more. We always revert back. Right? And I began to look at this, and I began to think that every question that we have, and we can come to God with, and every question that we bring before his throne, and we pray, and even Habakkuk right here was like, oh God, why aren't you listening? But we have to come to understand that every question that we have, God has already answered. Every question that we have, God has already answered. And he wrote the answer down in his living word. The word that's alive and active. The word that when you open up, it's like a fresh drink of water every time, no matter what time of day, no matter what you're going through, no matter if you feel like you're in a drought, if you feel like you're in the desert, you can always open up to the word of God and get a fresh drink of living water. See, sometimes we say, God, you're not listening. And God is saying, I already wrote down the answer. All you got to do is open up my word. All you got to do is experience the communication that I want to give you through my living word. We all think that, God, why aren't you listening? But we have to understand sometimes it's not God that's not listening. God talked about everything that we could ever go through. We look at provision. How many know that we can have anxiety? Come on, somebody. How many of you guys like to worry, stay up real late and worry? I can tell by the bags under your eyes. Come on, somebody. I know you put that makeup on, but that shade ain't normal. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Reads like this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? Come on. Isn't life more than worrying about your paycheck? Waking up every morning and going to the same old job. Come on, somebody. It's hard to make work exciting. You got one amen. I said, sometimes it's hard to make work exciting. But the Bible says, isn't life more than just food? Right? Some of you are like, I don't know, but when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. You know what I mean? I can always tell. Like, there's like a thing I go through, right? When me and my beautiful, lovely wife, we might be having like some tension. We'll call it tension. Right? The first thing I do is I ask her, hey, baby, are you hungry? Right? And nine times out of ten, problem solved. But if there's still a problem after we eat, then it was really a problem. That's just the way it goes. Right? Isn't life more than just working? I was thinking today, I was at work today, and you know what? I have a good job, and it's like good. I was like, yeah, but you know, this isn't my life here. You know, I don't live to work. Right? We don't live to work, but we work to live, right? We have to pay our bills. Come on, somebody. We got bills. You want stuff, you got to pay for stuff. Right? You got your phone bill. Right? You got your internet bill. Right? You got your car bill. You got all these bills. That's good, but that's not life. Sometimes we get all mixed up in it. And what we do, instead of serving the Lord, we start serving our job. We start serving that job. Right, and the job, then what happens when you start to accumulate a certain amount of things and get used to a certain lifestyle, what happens is you start to put your job as a higher priority than your relationship with God. Right? The Bible says we do not live to eat. We don't live to work. The Bible says, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Right? Some people worry for no reason. Worry about tomorrow and next week and worry about this, and you're worrying about March and April and May. You're worried about where this. You know what? Quit worrying all the time. It's not going to add a single day to your life. Right? It's not going to. Well, matter of fact, science has proven stress is a killer. Right? The Bible says don't worry. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Right? And so you're walking around all worried, and what do you say? God, how come you're not listening to me? And then God's saying, why aren't you listening to me? I told you not to worry. I told you work wasn't everything. I like this one. It says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. The unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Right? It's in the Word of God. You don't need to come to church to hear it from me. You already have it. You have it right there. You're opened up to it right now. You can get that anytime you want. You got it. You don't need this. You don't need me telling it to you. You got it right there. All you got to do is open up your Bible and let God speak to you. Let God minister to you. Let God communicate to you. And instead of expecting the worst, you'll start to expect God to move, right? This is sometimes we talk about the year of expectation, and the only thing you're expecting is more of the same. Oh, but it's not going to be more of the same if you tap in to the power of God. You can begin to expect for better, right? Expect for that breakthrough. That's what I love. It's like even when we're in our darkest hours, right? Let me get off this thing for a minute. Even when we're in the dark and when we're going through the trial of our lives, we're going through the mud, we're going through situations we can't get out of. But then, oh, I open up my Bible and I begin to read stories in the Bible about people that were this close to giving up and at the end of the rope. And I see how God comes through. Right? See, when you're broken, then you're primed for a breakthrough. Oh, when you're at the end, when you have nowhere else to go, you look at the guy that was sick at the pool of Bethesda. He had been there 38 years. 38 years lame and couldn't walk. And what would happen is the angel would come and stir the pool of Bethesda. And the first person that jumped in would be healed. Oh, but when Jesus came and asked him, don't you want to be well? Don't you want something else? Don't you want to quit expecting the worst? Don't you want to live a life full of expectation? Don't you want a breakthrough? Don't you want to get up off that mat? Don't you want to live a life of victory? Don't you want to live a life that you can walk proud with your head up high? He said, yeah. He said, get up. You don't need to wait for an angel to come stir the water. All you have to do is have an encounter with Jesus. You don't have to wait for the right time. You just have to wait for the right person, and that's Jesus Christ in your life. You've been waiting too long. You've been waiting day after day, month after month. You've been waiting year after year, saying, oh, I'm going to get it right next year. I'm going to get it right next year. Oh, 2018, that's going to be my year. 2019, that's going to be my year. No. You don't have to wait any longer. You ain't got to wait one. All you got to do is have an encounter with Jesus. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for an opportune time. You got to wait for an opportune person, and that is Jesus Christ. Have an encounter in your life. You have an encounter. It's always about next year. Oh, I'm going to get it right someday. Listen, you need to start making someday today. You need to start making someday today. Get it right now. Woo! Talk about also forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from wickedness. You talk about people that, especially people who come from the background we come from. Come on, somebody. We can live in guilt, condemnation. You look back and you look about all the things that we've done in the past, and you can get caught up there thinking, I'll never be nobody. I'll never go nowhere. I'm just lucky to be here. I'm just lucky to make it out. I'm just lucky not to have a needle in my arm anymore. I'm just lucky not to smoke a crack pipe anymore. But then when you begin to look about the goodness and the grace of God, you don't have to live in condemnation anymore. God doesn't want you to stay there, but God wants to bless your life. So if we ask for forgiveness, if we confess our sins, woo, catching all kinds of stuff flying around up here. He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us. To forgive. Listen, you can be forgiven. You don't have to carry that heavy burden anymore. That's not your burden to carry. Oh, but Jesus went to the cross to take that burden off your shoulders. Oh, he said to lay it down at my feet. Cast your cares. Cast them. Cast all your burdens. You weren't built to carry those burdens. Oh, but Jesus, when he shed his blood for you. Oh, when he shed his blood for you. Covered all your sins. Oh, from what does the Bible say? Pure as snow. They were once crimson like red. Oh, but now pure, clear as snow. Matthew chapter 6. And this is where a lot of people get messed up right here. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Listen, if you're searching for forgiveness, if you're searching for breakthrough, if you're searching to release all that condemnation, all that junk off your shoulders, if you're searching, you say, you know what, I can't get free. That's because you haven't set that person free yet. Right? That's because you haven't let them, that's because you're still holding them down. You're still holding you still got shackles around somebody else. You say, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they've done. Oh, but look what Jesus did for you. Look at the forgiveness that he's given you. See, the crazy thing is, when we fail to forgive someone, we're the ones that are still held captive. That forgiveness isn't for them. Oh, you thought you had it backwards. You thought once you forgive them, it was for them. But it's not for them. It's for you. When you forgive others, it's for you to be set free. to be set free. And once you're set free, right? The Bible says, "What? Once you're set free, that you're free indeed. Who the Son sets free, you are free indeed. You don't have to hold those shackles anymore. You don't have to hold those heavy chains anymore. Because once you forgive people, listen, let it go. Let it go. Because once you let it go, then you can fly. Once you let it go, then you can fly in your purpose and your calling. Oh, once you let it go, you'll see that attitude disappear. You'll see that negativity disappear. Once you forgive them, oh, you'll be a whole new person. You won't walk around thinking everybody's trying to do you wrong anymore. Everybody's out trying to get you, to get over on you. You won't think like that anymore. You won't be that person that's always second-guessing. Right? Always like having to check your wife's phone, checking your husband's phone, checking everybody's phone. You won't be that person where you live in freedom. You have freedom. Woo! How about Jesus? Not just forgiveness. Relationships. Man, I like this one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Sorry, I'm jumping around tonight, guys. In the same way, your husband's must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Listen to this. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. What? Hey, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I didn't write that. Did you write that? Did you put that down? She put stuff on my notes. Listen, brother, if you don't treat her right, don't expect nothing from God. He said, if you don't treat your wife the way you should, your prayers won't be answered. Ouch. Man, maybe that one was for me. I was like a... Your prayers won't be heard. You know what these two portions of Scripture tell me about forgiveness? And this one right here? That the way we affect people, the way we treat people, the way we deal with people is in direct relation to how God deals with us. Woo! Yeah, it's getting hot up in here. This is for all you single people. Where are all the single people at? No single people. Well, if you meet a single people, this one's for them. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? See, when we're talking about God not listening to us, right? But really, it's not God that's not listening; it's us that we don't listen. And you start to think about maybe you're single. You say, you know what? I want to get into the dating game. Come on, somebody, right? Maybe some of you guys are on eHarmony, right? Match.com, right? Oh, no, Pastor. No. It's all good. It's Christian Mingle. It's all good. Maybe you're on victoryhome.com. Woo! Right? I don't send email. I send... I'll leave it under the pulpit. You get it after when you guys are cleaning. But see, what happens is we ask God, God, I'm lonely, right? And it begins, instead of a prayer, it begins like a begging, right? God, you know I'm lonely, right? And then instead of reading his word, what you do is you go after someone that's appealing to the eye, or you look at something that's convenient, or you go after the first person that gives you a corny little pickup line. Come on, somebody. The first person that winks their eye at you, the first person that shows you a little bit of attention, you go after that person instead of waiting on the person that God has for you. And see, what happens is instead of that person complimenting your call, that person takes you away from your call because that person wasn't involved in your call. That person doesn't even come to church. That person don't even pray. That person don't even come to Victory Outreach. That person ain't even Christian. Even a Christian. They're not even a non-believer. They go to some other religion. You say, oh, this must be of God. How are two people, let me read again. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Right? Brother, if you think you're called to be a pastor, what do you got to do? You got to look for someone that's called to be a pastor's wife. I get the keyboard player up. All right, let's finish this thing. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 5. The Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day. Something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. What I like about this, see, this was the Lord's reply to Habakkuk. So Habakkuk was telling the Lord, Lord, you're not listening to me. Where are you at? You know, all this stuff, all this violence and all this stuff is going down. And the Lord says, look, stop. Watch. Watch because I'm about to do something amazing. And see, that's what I like about this year. When I begin to read this verse and these verses, and our year of expectation. See, when he said look and watch, what he was really saying, not just look because it's, you know, it's happening right now, because further on it says it'll happen on your own day. But he said, look, watch, expect. Expect something amazing. I know it might not look amazing right now. I know it might not feel amazing right now. I know you might be going through a trial or a tribulation right now. But don't look at the right now. Don't focus on your circumstance. Don't focus on that trial. But look. Look around. And watch for something amazing. Watch for something that's about to happen. I like what he says right here. He said it'll happen in his own day. Right? It's not about tomorrow or next week or next month. Look, it's about to happen right now. Your amazing is about to. Don't miss out. Don't get stuck on what things are, and don't get stuck on how you feel, and don't get stuck on the current situation. Don't focus down where you can't see what God is about to do. Don't look down and look at all the mess and the chaos and the violence, just like Habakkuk was talking about. Don't look down at all the things that are in the past, but look up, because God is about to do something amazing. And I believe that this year in 2018, even in this month of February, that God is already doing something amazing in your life. Something amazing. He said, look, expect a breakthrough. Expect the amazing. Expect provision. Expect the situation to change. Expect the miracle. Expect the healing. Expect to live in expectation. It says it's going to happen in your own day. Listen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in your own day. Some of you, that day might be today. It might be tomorrow. It's going to happen. Don't worry. The Bible they wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. It's going to happen. Don't give up. It's going to happen. Don't throw in the towel. It's going to happen. Don't quit, because it's going to happen. If you can all stand to your feet tonight. If that's you, and you say, man, I've been going through a struggle. I've been going through a trial. I've been like that person, like Habakkuk. And I say, you know what? Is God even listening to me? Can God even hear my prayers? Listen, this scripture is for you. That you are about to step into the amazing. You're about to get the breakthrough that you've been waiting for. You're about to see the promises of God that you've been waiting on come to pass. And it's not going to be in the distant future. But you can start to expect them right now. And you're right now. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat and begin to make your way to this altar. If you say, you know, I'm expecting my breakthrough. I'm expecting a change. I'm expecting a transformation. I'm expecting a family member to get saved. I'm expecting God to do something at my job. I'm expecting to get delivered. I'm expecting to be forgiven. I'm expecting a change in my situation, a change in my attitude. I want to live in expectation. I want to live in victory.
I'll provide a sacrifice.